Hello, Aries, and welcome to Reckoning, your 2025 spring reading from Planet Waves. I'm Eric Francis Coppolino, your astrologer, here with a reading for you. Although I wish I could say that the astrology itself was producing a lot of specific information for you and suggestions of what would specifically be possible, what options to look for, and so on. As you know, as you've seen in many of the videos, and as I'm about to show you, we are in this outstanding and original and I think somewhat delicate and even dangerous moment astrologically. It is no joke that I have looked back to 1 BC for precedence about what this astrology is about. Going back to before Jesus was born is a long time. I mean, that's a whole different world. And there's not a lot of guidance that we get from the past. But what we know is that when there is extraordinary activity in Aries, the world changes in very big ways, and pressure is put on individual people to rise to the occasion of those changes. And when you are somebody with a strong Aries signature, which I count to be Aries Sun, Aries Rising, Aries Moon, or Chiron in Aries, including people born at the previous conjunction of Chiron and Eris in 71 and 1972, clear through people born, going back a ways, and then clear through people born into the late 1970s, there is a lot of pressure on you to, in some way, transform yourself. But there are so many different elements stacked against the possibility of transformation, and so many, by which I mean really mean growth, which really I really mean like functioning in life as an adult responsive to your environment, who understands the commitments that you have and who wants to be here and who shows up for your own life. All of those are elements of growth, and we are conditioned to be so far from those things that for many people, they don't even really exist. There's not, there's nothing like convenient to, you know, grab a hold of and say, that's what that is about. And then we tend to learn over and over again through various schools of hard knocks and through making mistakes and making the same mistakes over and over again. And slowly and gradually, by and by, people grow and evolve. But suddenly there is this enormous concentration of, I really don't like the word energy. It is so vague, a concentration of experience, what I mean, and a speed of events and unpredictable developments in the world. And it's vital to remember that you are having your personal experience of your own life trajectory, your choices, your relationship to your original instructions, your dharma, the accumulated effects of what you've done in life. All is coming to a kind of fruition right now, but in a time when the world has been completely destabilized by what I refer to as full digital conditions, completely destabilized. What we are seeing going on with the antics of these tech billionaires and the hackers who are running the Doge and all this stuff is really just a kind of a smear of frosting on the cake. The destabilization is happening from the bottom. The ground of being is crumbling, and the ground of being is crumbling under the dissolving power of the very medium that we are communicating in, that I am speaking to you in, though I will say that what I am presenting to you is a much more coherent message than generally is allowed or facilitated in this environment. And so there's a lot of ways to describe and think of the crumbling and the shifting of the ground and the tectonic movement. But one way to think about the problem, think about the situation, is that everything that was formerly coherent, and there weren't that many things, but what was formerly coherent has been essentially chopped into a million pieces. And now we have to use our awareness. We're either playing in these million pieces like that ball pit at McDonald's, where it's like, well, you know, there's no real form. There's just a bunch of balls in a pit, and they're of different colors. Oh, wow, who's even thinking about that? And yet we have to be putting all of that together, swimming around in this ball pit of fragments and of fragments, and the ground of being fundamentally deprived of orientation in the body. Now, there are some people who would say this is very spiritual. Oh, well, we get to, I'm not a body, I am free, as A Course in Miracles says. But this is a little more like electrocution than meditating in a Zen monastery. And so we're being shocked out of our the center of our awareness, shocked out of the reference point of existence by not very friendly external sources, and that is why the result has been so much fear and loss and chaos, and the food supply, millions upon millions of chickens being killed and egg laying chickens all for nothing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You can name a million the wars, these senseless situations where countries just blow each other up right before our eyes, right on TV, right in the newspaper, for no reason. Well, this is, in my view, described most succinctly, and in particular the meaninglessness of it, as the ground collapsing. And so for you, this presents the challenge of establishing a new ground of being in the midst of all of these astonishing changes that are going on. And I say astonishing, most people are not experiencing them as like, oh my God, this is so astonishing. There's a lot of people who are having, a lot more people having trouble getting through the day, a lot more people who are finding themselves trapped in fear and finding themselves with things to genuinely be concerned about, and the psychic and the psychological and the spiritual stress is unbelievable. And as of this day, Monday, March 3rd, the astrology hasn't even reached Aries yet. We have another month, almost a little bit less, before Neptune reaches Aries. So, all by way of saying, I sat in my favorite diner this morning, the Broadway Lights Diner, and I was, going through my stack of April and May horoscopes and charts to write the weekly and the monthly horoscope, and looking at, let's see if I can find one that's illustrative. Working on a lot of charts like this and telling the story for how this relates to you, and doing my best to prepare you for something that I've never been through, that no one has been through. It reminds me a little bit of the movie Contact. Have you ever seen? You might enjoy it. Really one of the humane and beautiful films from 1996. A couple of really good films came out in 1996. And this young scientist, this brilliant PhD named Dr. Eleanor Arroway, is going to take a ride in this machine. It's called the Machine, which is just basically a thing that drops a. She sits in a pod, and the thing starts to spin and create some kind of wormhole, and then they just drop her through it, and she goes for a ride. And a lot of the film is then preparing her for this journey, but nobody knows what this is going to be. Nobody has the least concept of what is going to happen. But I know, and you know, a little bit about what it's like to be on Earth at this time, and I think that no one likes to experience things that are or anticipate experiencing things that are completely unfamiliar and unknown and combinations of variables that have never been seen in any way before. That's exactly where you are. Let's see what's going on with my camera here. Sorry about this. I'll tighten this up maybe. All right. Okay. So the astrology is seriously focused in Aries. It is possible to interpret this hyperbolically as like the greatest thing ever. And it may be. That would be the best interpretation. It's like, oh my God, this is incredible. You have all kinds of possibilities opening to you. You have all of these amazing potentials opening up to you. And yet, there are a lot of people who are afraid to budge. And honestly, I don't blame people for being afraid to budge. If that's you, you know, you may not have a good enough reason. You may not feel safe enough to make a move. And yet, with what is happening, it's going to be very important that you hang loose and, do something other than resist. One of the features of my astrological study that I don't talk about is looking at charts for different time periods in history and wondering what it was like to be alive at that time, to be alive and participating. And I have done my best to study history, and then also to the extent that I've known people who were personally alive at the time things were happening, to find out to them what was going on. And one of those periods is the 60s, and another one is the early 70s, but I'm also very interested in all of the Aries, intense Aries phases, of which there was one in the 1920s that was on par with this, but not the same thing. And then in the late 1840s, there was something very similar going on, a very hotly fraught time when the women's movement was getting started and the abolitionist movement in the 15 years before the Civil War broke out. These have been very, very restless times. And then the early 1970s is when I think I said that. And one of the ways to squander the potential of the moment is to retreat into dogmatic thinking. And I mean to insult dogs. I never looked up the word dogmatic, but it's got nothing to do with dogs. Dogs are not dogmatic. They're the lead, as a species, they're the most open and the most accepting and the most shorn of any philosophy except of what to do to help people out, which they love to do. So dogma, whatever that really means, seems to be the thing that vexes these very powerful Aries times, of a lot of jumping on bandwagons and a lot of picking sides and a lot of kind of pseudo radicalization and going gung ho. I would suggest. Enter the concept into your mind that is actually entirely contrary to the kinds of deep inner development that are possible for you, the kinds of profound inner growth and development that are possible for you right now. I would say that the wisest way to think of what is available to you and what you're likely to experience is a kind of an inner journey, an inner journey of catching up with yourself, of reckoning. That's what I mean by reckoning. That's the title of this reading. And what I mean by reckoning for the faithful is just about reckoning with yourself. And this requires an act of faith. I mean, this absolutely requires an act of prolonged act of faith. And it is very much what do I have my copy of The Relationship Between Environment and Anti-Environment, my personal favorite McLuhan lecture. To go within counters the dominant forces in the environment. The dominant forces of the environment, the digital environment, force people, compel people, bleach people's interior out to turn everything into some externally expressed thing, some thing that pushes their interior being out and then splays it all over essentially what is called social media, but what is really public media, public presentation. And we've become so, some people, it's an addiction to presenting everything privately about ourselves publicly, that there's no inner sanctuary. And yet, part of the reckoning is reckoning with your inner sanctuary, your inner needs, your inner awareness, your inner senses. There's a diversity of inner senses that are not the seeing, smelling, hearing, tasting, touching, and all that. The outer senses of Aristotle, but the inner senses of a philosopher named Aquinas started to develop this idea that the soul is something that is cultivated inwardly, not merely through external sensory experience, but rather the first of all, this thing that no one knows what it really is, unless you study philosophy, which is the root of the concept of common sense. You ever wonder what common sense is? And this is the sensus communis, which is to say the place where the senses arrive in your consciousness, where you have to sort out what you're experiencing and then basically do something with it, learn something from it, have some experience with it. That is the sensus communis. That is what common sense means. Common sense means evaluating the input from your senses and then making observations and plans. By plans, I mean taking action, doing something with the information. Okay, so and everything points to this. Yet my concern is, and this is a big concern, since I am an astrologer who is focused in my news reporting. Okay, maybe not so much so, but even my news reporting is designed to, bring you into a space of relevance of the experience of the world, and that relevance is an inner experience. It is an inner journey. And so another distraction is, besides some people needing to put their dinner on Instagram, I don't know if people still do that, but it's like I find to be one of the most repugnant things in all of digital life is people putting a picture of their meal on the internet. And I'll remind you that as I sip a hot cup of tea, that I had a ban on putting food, on depicting food on Planet Waves in case there were hungry people reading. Now that's been completely inverted, and there are like thousands and thousands of images of food being seen by people who don't really have very much, but they have internet, and that's not food in the same in the same sense. But what is potentially available is some kind of spiritual food if you can internalize a message coming seemingly from the outside. And the workaround that I have for the message that I give through this larger message of the environment coming coming from the outside to internalize that more is I work with this very much inner thing known as astrology. Sure, it seems to be happening out in all of these planets and in mathematics, but ultimately this is describing inner transitions, inner transformations, inner movement, and offering a kind of inner directions, an inner direction. And the first direction to be sensitive to is the need for something I've been talking about in my Tantra discussions, Parivriti, turning back toward. And the thing that you would be turning back toward is turning back toward yourself. Okay, so let's take a look at the chart. I will expand the palette to include this chart, which is the Aries 2025 plus chart. But let's start with a chart for March of 2026, March 19th, 2026, about a year from now. You can see here the sun is at 28 Pisces, so 28:51, so it's a little more than a day before the spring equinox of 2026. And you can see that as we have now, there's a lot of Pisces in the scenario, but the thing about the things in Pisces is that all of the objects present in Pisces are fast movers. They'll be gone in a matter of weeks or a couple of months in the case of Vesta, and in the case of the nodes are making their way back through, and they're going to end up back in Aquarius and Leo in a short time. They're going to leave this point called Nessus in Pisces, which is relevant to you because it is a kind of calling to conscience. Now, what then happens over the course of the next year is that slow-moving Neptune arrives in Aries, slow-moving Saturn arrives in Aries, and ultra-slow-moving Eris, which has been in Aries since the 1920s, is taking a conjunction from slow-moving Chiron. That's the thing that happened last in 1971 and 1972. That's what that looks like. So I'm working with that chart, so I have a concept of what that is. But prior to that, in the 15th century, at the time that the printing press was invented, and that shook up the world like digital is shaking up the world now. But the difference is that it was much, much slower. It took centuries to get the effect that it got, whereas what we've got going on now is pretty much happening in a matter of years. 2 years ago, ChatGPT is introduced. Now, suddenly, that was a product rollout for AI, which is now all-consuming. And so what I'm really preparing you for, and by the way, all of these technological advances are found in Aries. Over and over again, when I go back and look at the charts of the most important technological advances, I find that there is massive, rare activity in Aries. And this counts going all the way back to 2016, was kind of like the first of, you know, a flourishing of absolutely total digital insanity. What's his name, running the country from his Twitter account, which was taken away, and then which he then married the guy who bought Twitter, and now he's got it back. More externalization, more external validation, more being possessed by the ghost in the machine. But what we're seeing now with this astrology of 25 and 26 is that that's where the most significant and most concentrated change is happening. That's where essentially the eye of the needle is being threaded. And it's happening several ways. And I'm going to stick with this 2026 chart for a second, because I want you to see where we are headed. Now, the 2025 charts are not, they're not all that different. Let's see if I've got one handy here. In that scale, I'm looking for the scale, because there's a lot of charts that that will partially serve, but I want something that I may not be able to immediately put my hands on it, so we'll just have to. For example, we can use the chart for the right about now. Okay, so this conjunction of Chiron and Eris is the meeting of a chaos-generating factor, Eris, which has been in Aries for 100 years, and it'll be there for about 25 more years, and Chiron, which is a whole-making factor. So you have Eris creating chaos and fracturing people and fractioning people off of each other. And then we have Chiron, which is a whole-making factor. And they're going to meet for the first time since this most recent conjunction in 1972. You can see this was back at 12 degrees and change of Aries, and there was a conjunction of Chiron and of Eris. Now, this was a very, very, very big time in history. Richard Nixon is elected that year. He's out of office a year and a half later. The Vietnam War is still not only mounting, but being expanded into Laos and Cambodia. So it's expanded to a whole regional bombing and chemical poisoning campaign. And people were feeling it in society. I mean, there were a lot of people, a lot of men coming home poisoned, and people were very restless and very angry, and they were angry at the loss of their leaders, Martin Luther King and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Senior 4 years before this, and John F. Kennedy. Right, it was a positively grievous time, but there was a real idealism that mounted in the early 1970s. There were many things that people, against all odds and against all external reassurance, determined were possible. They decided that those things were possible. And this astrology, I am here to say, does not really hold much of a candle to what we are building toward right now, which looks a little bit more like this. Okay, so the thing to look for is where you have given up your selfhood and your personhood as a consequence of overexposure to digital conditions, of having every fucking thing in our lives be somehow processed through a digital environment. Look, I'm presenting a media product as part of my job. I'm not just here for pure entertainment. I mean, I make sure that I have fun doing this, but that is not a lot of what's going on. Most people's interaction with digital is either purely consumerist or solipsistic, completely self-obsessed. And there's no growth reward. There's no coherence. There's no Parivriti, turning back toward yourself. So we have Chiron approaching. Chiron, the integration factor, which has been in your sign since 2018, 2019. It was a one-year phase in. So you're accustomed to the impulse and the instinct to make yourself whole, because that showed up in grand style in 2018, 2019, depending on how your chart is set up, when you first experienced it, is open for further data, but you've been under this influence for a while. But now what we've got going on is that these two points are going to meet, and they are going to meet for the first time on May 26th. That is coming right up. That is at the Gemini new moon. You can see that there. Coincidentally, Gemini new moon going on. And you can see the conjunction of Chiron and Eris right at 25 and change of Aries. And so I think that based on my understanding of studying these things in the past, how this might play out is that there is a sudden sense of awakening at that point. There is a sudden sense of like, wow, this is happening right now. Like, what is this happening right now? And then at the same time, there is an understanding of the extent to which there has been this buildup. There's been this approach. And when you open up, the aperture, and you can see how much time has been involved, we might be able to trace this back at least 3 years. For you personally, at least 3 years. In terms of changes in society, we really are talking 2019. And this was the 2018, 2019, late 2017, highly, highly chaotic, almost depressingly chaotic, and a lot of unraveling of what had been a potential progress attained in the past. And so it's important to work with what's called in Tantra preserver energy, the quality of the preserver, which is to preserve the gains that have been made, to protect what you've earned and what you've learned, but not at the expense of your flexibility. And this alignment of Chiron with Eris, let's go back to the immediate future here. Is a kind of a clash of the culture. We have a digital world in which there's a bizarre kind of body obsession, like everybody's got to have something to say about viruses, and everybody's got to have something to say about germ theory and nutrition. And every time I open up a YouTube, I've got somebody telling me what I should eat or what I shouldn't eat. If I only click here, watch the video, belly fat, this, that, and it's on and on and on and on about this kind of bizarre body obsession in a disembodied medium. I mean, it's like the ultimate paradox of a yoga class on the internet. That is not the point of a yoga class. The point of I don't know how holographic you think you are, but the point of a yoga class is to have at minimum an experience with a physical teacher, and at best to have an experience with a physical teacher and other students, possibly assistants, and like experience yoga as a physical thing. But all these videos, I'm sure you've seen these, don't eat blueberries for breakfast and oatmeal, and the famous cardiologist who's going to tell us all about nutrition and all of this. This is a very weird reaction, and in some ways predictable, a reaction to the disembodied state of the internet, and that is Eris, this shocked out of body, this electrocution that we are going through, this slow roasting electrocution of EMFs, you know, like this whole gadget I've got here in the corner, back there. See all that? Like that? All the routers are back there, and the audio router is back there, and the battery backup down at the bottom is what's that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, unless we're really conscious, this is electrocuting us out of body. And of course, the internet is responding by going on a campaign against oatmeal or eating any vegetables, etc. Okay, so that's Eris. That complete chaos of viewpoint, the lack of perspective, the completely decentralized, which is supposed to be a good thing on the internet, the lack of a defined, distinct viewpoint, the ability to kind of go back and forth. At my minimum, I'm minimal. You know, you're going to get this presentation with no edits. You're getting it exactly. It's not a single cut, except when I change the visual to this magical chart. Now, what is this magical chart telling me? It's telling me that the disembodiment factor is being met by a factor that is all about holistic awareness, that is all about getting back into physical incarnated form. It is all about essentially threading the needle of your body with your soul and doing something about this whole long electrocution process that begins in the 19th century with telegraph and electric lights, and very quickly after the electric fucking chair is invented. One of the first electrical appliances ever invented is the electric chair to completely shock people out of their bodies. They knew they had this thing that shocked people out of their bodies. And Chiron is often this thing that shocks people back into their bodies, or draws people back in, allows them, invites them, or creates a situation where there is, for example, a medical crisis or an accident of some kind that compels reincarnation, of becoming back, reincarnating back again, doing actually coming back in, into your body. So we could say, oh, the real title of this reading is, best of luck on your forthcoming reincarnation. Reincarnation of what? As what? Oh, the reincarnation as yourself. That's what you're reincarnating as. Okay, so then while this is going on, and this is, you know, I've like explained this now no fewer than 30 times in presentations. So you count 12 The Awakening readings, 12 The Awakening audio readings, the Aries birthday reading, and every pretty much everything I've done for the last year has talked about this next thing, which is the movement of first Neptune and then Saturn into Aries, and they will then form a conjunction, which is a little bit past this now. That happens in about a year from now. Well, a little bit less, in February 2026, a conjunction on the Aries point, the first degree of Aries, the sidereal vernal point. So you're seeing this a little bit after that's happened, with Neptune at 1 degree and Saturn having 1 and change, and Saturn having pulled away at 3 and change. Saturn is never going to retrograde back to Neptune in this cycle. This conjunction has happened in Aries only 4 times since 1 BC. That's the thing that is barely precedented, and then the conjunction on the Aries point has never happened before. Never happened before. Now, what's that about? So I think that the Aries point used to be like this boutique item. The Aries point used to be this thing you could write a song about, like in the case of Television Man by David Byrne. When the world crashes into my living room, television made me what I am, right? The world crashes in. You know this song. Let's play a couple of seconds of it. Nope, wrong one. Great beat. Three and, one and, three and. I think one of David Byrne's great songs. He loved Ricky Ricardo. I don't know if you can hear that. I'm looking and I'm dreaming for the first time. I'm inside and I'm outside at the same time. Everything is real. Do I like the way I feel? When the world crashes in to my living room. People like to put the television down, but we are still good friends. Which is probably true. So he's got that right. But the beauty of it is he could write a song about something that was, for example, in that song probably comes out around 1988 or so. You could actually say, oh, that's what that is. Like, oh, I'm inside and I'm outside at the same time. What do you say? I'm looking and I'm dreaming at the same time. And you notice when the world crashes into your living room. Which is really your eyes being ripped out of your head and taken somewhere else. This camera is the representation, hello, of your eye. This microphone, the representation of your ear. You've come all the way to Kingston, New York. That is about disembodiment. I have come all the way to your town, your home, your computer, your pocket. But here's the issue. And the line, the world crashes into my living room, is the perfect delineation of the Aries point. The Aries point is the first degree of Aries where a lot of this is happening, right? Particularly the one and only ever in 2026 years conjunction of Saturn and Neptune on the Aries point. Well, this opens up the world to you. This activates your connection to the world. So you've got to decide how you want that to work. Do you want that to work as like being completely electrocuted by your phone going off and following all this relevant news and all these comments and all of these likes and dislikes and upvotes and downvotes and this endless stream of busyness that people put themselves through? Or is there some way that you meaningfully can connect to something outside of yourself? And by the way, Chiron hints at that. Eris hints at that. So the question is, what are you doing? And what do you want to be doing? You have all creative potential open to you with this. Now, I realize you may not be Leonardo da Vinci and I'm not Michelangelo and all this stuff. But within the framework of your place and time, the possibilities are all open. That's just how it is. The possibilities are open to you at this place and at this time where you are at. And it may include, you know, going somewhere else, doing something different. So in the time you've got, you know, between now, early March of 25, and all of this astrology manifesting fully, which it will do over the course of the next year, year and a half. Some of it's quicker acting, some of it's slower acting. Some things are just going to happen, bang. They're just going to be right upon you. And some things are going to develop slowly over time. Neptune always develops slowly over time. But Saturn is going to give it substance now for ahead of the conjunction in February 26th. Saturn is alchemizing Neptune. And the combination of Saturn and Neptune is new elements, new tectonic forces. Let's see how I handle this in the Aries. Let's see if I can find this. H-O-R-O. Horoscopes. This is time, nope, it's 7:36 a.m. I can't find it. But basically, what I said here. Oh, wait, no. Here it is. Hopefully, this is going to be worth all the drama of anticipation. Let me get myself on camera so that you can see me. What I wrote in one of the horoscopes today. There are times when new elements and compounds are created. I don't mean in a physics lab for 1/1,000,000th of a second, which is a lot of the elements are created for like, oh, wow, we saw for 1/1,000,000th of a second. No, I mean as a result of a natural process. Pre-existing humanity, a natural process, pre-existing humans just showing up on the planet very recently. I mean as a result of tectonic movement or an asteroid impacting the Earth, that kind of a thing. I mean some form of an evolutionary breakthrough where the human soul is capable of. For other people in other times and other places, this may not be a factor. People dig up gold and cut diamonds with no concept of where these things came from. We casually drink and waste and pollute tons of fresh water with no notion it may have been delivered by a single comet 1 billion years ago. Your astrology is now asking, with me as its voice, I admit, that you take nothing whatsoever for granted. You are in a moment of profound potential change. And that means connecting with yourself. Connecting with yourself. At the end of the day, at the end of the decade, at the end of the century, that's what this astrology is about. It is about connecting with yourself from the inside out. Now, I realize I'm seemingly an external effect or saying this to you, but I am doing something special right now, which is I am reading astrology, which is, if sure, it's planets and the moon and all that stuff, but it's no, the astrology is happening in us. The astrology is about the cycles within us. It is about what karma is ripe for the experience to happen. And what I'm seeing here is a lot of karma is ripe for the experience to happen. And so, as Ralph Blum says in the Book of Runes, put your house in order and wait on the will of heaven. And the will of heaven is what the inner spirit voice is going to say for you and guide you to do, and what seemingly pure circumstances and happenstances are going to be about for you. So that is what I have to say. I continue to develop these ideas in various different articles and in the horoscope. There's lots in the Awakening, including a magnificent written reading for Aries and a book about all this, a short printable book about all of this for you. But I'm really here to say that, you know, your main mission is to go anti-environment, remembering that the prevailing state of the environment is, being kind of flushed out of yourself and into the world, and here in the, under the influence of this astrology, your role is going to be to kind of collect all of these pieces, to see and experience all these pieces as who you are when you are whole and when you are integrated. And I realize this could take a lot of work. And I'm suggesting it's worth doing that work. It is worth the work to be real, to integrate your soul and your psyche and your personality, which means to have integrity. So under these powerful forces, please be honest with yourself. Please be honest with other people. And really, that is the thing that has the potential to alchemize the possibilities that you have, the true potential that you possess. Okay, that's what I've got to say. Thank you. I'll see you around the block at one or more of the other signs. Signing off from the first sign of Reckoning, Merrick Francis. Bye for now.